Today's sermon text is out of Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." This is the word of God.
Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this morning just thanking you that you are a merciful God. We gather in your name because Christ has died for our sins. And we look to you this morning to help us in this world. To help us, Father, to walk with you well, to trust in you and hope in you. And so, Father, I pray that as we go through this sermon, Father, that you might help us. Help our hearts to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. On June 1st of this year, Sandra and I will be celebrating 32 years of marriage. I'm very thankful for how God has saved, restored, and redeemed our marriage. He sustains it to this day. But what I've noticed throughout these 32 years together is it becomes very easy to either neglect or to become complacent as we seek to be purposeful in pursuing our love relationship with one another. And you guys know how it is with jobs and stress and things that we're going about doing in this world. It becomes difficult to keep in our minds that with our relationship, it has to be worked at. We have to pursue it. We have to go toward it. It has to be the goal to love one another. For some reason or another, it seems that it takes great difficulty to remind us of this. I remember when Sandra was battling cancer, and we really came together. Sincere love and oneness arose from that. And as we more recently went through a very difficult time where we became crushed in spirit with the difficulty we were dealing with, and within that time, really feeling very thankful and a deep love for my wife. So what I'd like for you to be chewing on this morning, and what I want you to be thinking of as we're going through this sermon today, is that it becomes very easy to take for granted the relationships that are most close to us. Isn't that right? Let me give you another example. My dad and I are very different people. In fact, one might say that we have more difference of opinions than we do opinions in common. In the course of my lifetime, I would say that we have butted head thousands of times. Because we often differ, it becomes easy to lose sight of some very true facts. That in this life, my dearest and closest friends have never had my back like my parents have had my back, not even close. They have seen the very worst of me. They went through the darkest times with me, and never one time, not once, have I ever wondered if they're going to keep on loving me. How easy it becomes to take for granted and neglect such a love. Our text this morning is all too familiar. In fact, it's our memory verse that Joshua and Lauren and Matthew and I are going through experiencing God at my house on Monday night, and this is our memory verse of the week. Just happened to come up and just seemed fitting. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So let me ask, how you doing with that? Do you find it difficult like I do? To remember that this is the point, that this is why I exist. God created me to be in relationship with Him. And that by far is my greatest purpose on the face of this earth, to pursue this love relationship with my good Father. Can I be so vulnerable as to tell you this morning that as you become busy doing church work and you give yourself to things like Bible study and small group and prayer and small group, it becomes very easy to forget that the point is not church or small group or prayer or Bible study. It is a love relationship with our God. Those things are all just means to an end, but so often they become the focus, don't they? And we forget the relationship with our God. I use this text out of Matthew this morning because loving God is the point. It's the main point of the sermon. However, it's been on my heart to preach about the prodigal. So would you please turn in your Bibles with me to Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. This is a long passage, so bear with me, please. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me a share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country, and he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him to feed the pigs, in the fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring a fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house where he heard the music and the dancing, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" I've read this text many, many times in my life, as I'm sure you have as well. I've heard many, many sermons about this. And I believe that you can conclude through this text that the main point is about the heart of the Father, how he is patiently seeking and persistently desiring his boys to come to their senses, to recognize their greatest need, and that is a love relationship with a good, good Father. Secondary to that, and what I would like to spend a little time thinking about this morning, is the heart of the two sons. The prodigal son has been rolling around in my brain for about 3 weeks now, and I've just been thinking about it a lot. Largely, I think, because when I was young, yes, kids, I was once young. When I was young, I had to hit rock bottom before my heart became soft enough to look up and hear the loving voice of my Father. But this prodigal story, this prodigal son, also has been very heavy on my heart for another reason. Because I believe, and because I fear, that there are some in this room that are on the verge of going down the path of the prodigal. So please, I want your attention today. I would like to ask you for your attention. So if you're 22 years of age and younger here this morning, I really would like to ask you, and I just beg of you, just give me your attention for just a moment here, because this message God has put on my heart for you, quite frankly. So here you are. You're young. You're just now getting ready to be free to make your own decisions. And your decisions and the consequences thereof are fixing to be yours to shoulder. The principle of reaping what you sow will now come to life more vividly than you could even imagine, for the good or the bad. And I can attest to you that that's the way it was in my life, and I think most people that are older can attest that that's true of them as well. This text of the prodigal son this morning also is meant to be a large warning to you. A screaming warning for those who might be entertaining the notion of going down the same path as a prodigal son. So what was the path? What was on the heart of the son who left the father? Pretty simple stuff. Stuff that I hear all the time. He wanted to be free. He felt as though what the father had to offer could not compare to the pleasures that awaited him in a life free from any constraint from the father. That the grass of the world had to offer was so much greener than the father could possibly offer. That there must be more to life than what the father was giving. Here's what I want you to hear. Listen to this. That is a lie straight from the enemy who seeks to destroy you. And he will try all of your life to convince you that what the Father has for you is not good, at least not as good as can be found if you were to follow your own heart. Surely you know best. This is the lie that he told Eve to convince her that God was holding out on her, to entice her to sin against God. And it's the lie of the enemy that I have heard 1,000 times in my life to entice me to doubt the good and loving heart of the Father. Young people, I'm certain the enemy is telling you the same lie. May I say to you this morning that the problem is not with the good Father. His character cannot be on trial here this morning. The problem is the lack and the ability to see the goodness of the Father. So let's take a look at where the path of the prodigal led him. Not many days later, the young son gathered all he had, took on a journey into the far country where he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country and began to be in need. He went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country and sent him to the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Perhaps you might look at this text and say, man, that's a train wreck, isn't it? And it is. This young man was indeed reaping what he had sown. That's what was happening. And this world was now crashing down around him. But brothers and sisters, what I see in this text is a divine, miraculous gift of grace. Don't miss the severe famine here. What I want you to know that the most cursed, the most terrifying, the most frightening thing that could ever happen to you, the most damning thing on the face of this earth, is being left to prosper as you walk away from a good, good father into a life of sin. There can be nothing worse than that. The judgment that we see in our country right now is God saying simply, okay, have it your way. Follow your heart. And we see the consequences of that all around us, don't we? But here in this picture, this young son, we see something different. Because of the severe drought and this young man falling so low as to end up hungry in a pig pen, we see a work of grace start to well up. This young man, the Bible says, came to himself or came to his senses and began to remember the goodness that surrounds the Father and the household of the Father. I want you to understand it's only by grace that anyone ever comes to their senses, comes to themselves. And this coming to their senses is just another way of saying he came to see. Listen to this. He came to see what had always been before him. But up until this point, at that rock bottom, in that pig pen, could not see the goodness of a good father. He was unable to see it. Until now, he became mindful of all the good that surrounded the Father. So I hope you recognize this morning that people all across the faces of this planet never see this. That most people never see the goodness of the Father. It is by grace you are saved, and it is by grace that anyone would ever see this. Young people, even though I did, even though this prodigal did, you do not have to end up in the pig pen to see the goodness of the Father. My dad always told me a story that he'd heard from a preacher friend of his a long time ago. I'm sure I won't get it exactly right, but it goes something like this. Don't be like the pig that eats acorns all day long under the oak tree without looking up to see where they came from. The key is looking up and being grateful. Ask God to show you His goodness and care for you. Beg for eyes to see the riches that God has for you. This world blinds us from seeing a loving Father that has always, always, always been running toward us. A love relationship with the God of the universe. Just listen to those words for just a second. The God of the universe running toward you with a love relationship. If that does not boggle your mind, something's wrong with you this morning. The Lord of heaven and earth wants to be in fellowship with you. That's the point. That's the goal. It's why you exist, to fellowship with your God. I've heard this before. Some people say, well, let me make my own mistakes. The prodigal made it back to the father after being in the pig pen. Pastor David, you were in the pig pen and you made it back to the father. Why not go down that road a bit and enjoy a little sin in this life before you come back to the father? I want you to understand this. You should have no expectation that if you choose a life of sin and rebellion against God, that somehow He owes it to you to drag you out of the pig pen. In fact, Scripture would say something different. In Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." But here's what you should expect. "But a fearful expectation of judgment and fury and fire that will consume the adversaries." The pattern of the world, listen to me, it's the pattern of the world is that most never come to their senses and look up and see a merciful and gracious God. Does God still reach into the pig pen? Reach into the muck and mire with His saving hands Absolutely. He does it every single day. But please understand this. Most people on this earth stay in the mud their entire life and try to convince themselves that the mud is where they want to be. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There is nothing but death and curse if you walk away from a loving father. Now let's look quickly at the older brother. Now the older brother was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard the music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry, and he refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered, Father, look, these many years I have served you and never disobeyed you, your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. I once thought that the problem with the older brother was pride, and it is. But he was the typical firstborn, wasn't he? Rule keeper. Thinks that the point of it all was obedience and keeping rules better than anybody else can. But the more I've thought about this in preparation for this sermon, the more I realize that the two brothers have exactly the same problem. They both had the fullness of love of a good father, yet could never see it, and thereby could never experience this love relationship with their God. He couldn't receive what was being offered to them because they couldn't see it. My sermon this morning is very simple, and it has just these two points that I want to hit on again before I end today. Number one, you have been created with the primary purpose to love the Lord God with all that you are. Without this, this world has no meaning and will leave you purposeless, hopeless, and empty. I want to give you an illustration this morning, so if you'll bear with me, it's like any other illustration. I'm sure it falls apart at some point, but here it is nonetheless. Now listen to me. Imagine, if you would, just for a second, that someone who deeply cares about you, deeply loves you, and wanted to give you something very useful for you, wanted to help make your life a little bit easier, just wanted to bless you in such a way. And out of this love, sat down, thought up, and with much effort and expense, created for you something amazing. An iPhone. With the hope that this would be a great aid and help to your life. You receive this iPhone, and you look at it, and you examine it, and use it only as a paperweight to hold papers on the desk. What a complete waste it would be to use an iPhone in such a way. Because that is not the purpose that it had been created. The Creator of heaven and earth and everything in it, the God who sees all, who knows your frame, knows your bent, knows what you'll be doing a week from now, He has more knowledge in Him than all other created things combined. Has created you to love Him as He loves you. It is your design. It is your purpose. Yet so many give themselves to other pursuits, to follow, mostly just to follow your own heart, follow your own counsel. All I can say to you this morning, if that's your thinking, that path ends badly. I will promise you that. I am a testimony of that. Point two. It is often those relationships most close to us that we most easily take for granted. Just like our relationships with our spouses, just like our relationship with those that have sacrificed the very most for us, it becomes so easy to become blind or complacent to an absolute treasure that those relationships have to offer. Perhaps you are like me and find it so much easier to see the negative in somebody rather than the positive. And I want to say to you this morning, this is something that God is calling me and calling you to repent of and to fight against. The God of the universe is running to you with absolute greatest treasure ever, His relationship. The Father is the point, the purpose, and the prize. Let us open our eyes, our hearts, to receive such a treasure. And never allow our hearts to become lazy in this relationship. Never take it for granted, and never allow the enemy to poison this relationship with God as he breathes out lie after lie, trying to blind us to the goodness of our God. If you're an unbeliever here today, if you've never repented and believed the gospel, I want you to know this morning that God has created you for a love relationship with Himself. It's why you exist. However, your sin and your rebellion to that purpose has separated you from God. The Bible says that we have all sinned and gone our own way. Folks, this is the ultimate sin, going our own way. Some people think murder, some people think rape. Going our way is the greatest evil under the sun, to do our own choosing. It's what Satan desired as he was banished from heaven, and it's the craving of every heart, of every man, woman, and child since Eve and Adam and Eve fell in the garden. Our rebellion to our Maker has separated us from Him. But Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It's by grace that you've been saved. 1 John 4:10 says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin, a satisfying sacrifice for our sin. Christ was put forward to bear the penalty of our rebellion. Our sin deserved death, and Christ went to that tree to die on our behalf, to atone for us. Christ has purchased for us, by His sacrificial death on the cross, the right to become children of God. But folks, what must happen next takes a miracle. That you would ever desire, you or I, either one, would ever desire for this relationship with God is nothing short of a miracle. That you would ever desire that our hearts would be changed, that we would love the Father with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that would even be a notion in our heart, that we would turn away from our own way of thinking, of going our own way, that we would even want that. Folks, that's the parting of the Red Sea there. That is the miracle of miracles. That our heart could be flipped and changed in such a way that we would yield to the God of the universe and say, have your way with me. Make of me what you want. That is what repentance is all about, turning away from that and turning to what God has. To be changed. And it is a work that only God can do. But let me give you the good news here this morning. He wants to do it. It is in His heart to do it. And it's no big thing for Him. If you are being prompted right now that you know that you're lost, that you know that the bent and frame of your heart is to go your own way, I say to you this morning, repent and believe the gospel. And if that is somehow speaking to you this morning, folks, that is God calling you into this relationship. It is what He does. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope to be changed and restored to the Father. Fully accept that God has made a way for you to have this relationship, out of love, sending forth Christ to that cross as a payment for our sins, to redeem us. There is no other way. I've heard people say many times, well, there's this way and these people believe this. Listen to me. The God of the universe has ordained in love. He sent His Son to bear your sins on a bloody cross and be buried in a tomb. What more can He do? There is no other way. That is the way. That is the love of the Father reaching out to a lost world. I just invite you right now, where you are, to cry out for God. If you have any notion that you need to be born again this morning, that you would cry out to God for such a miracle. I want you to know that there is nothing special about steps at the front of a stage. I want you to know that there is nothing special about a preacher praying for you, and there's nothing special about your prayer, except that it might come from your heart that you would cry out to God for mercy. Look only to the cross of Jesus Christ to save you and restore you to this God. But I have to say this, there is something very special that within your own heart and with your own mouth that you would confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. It is very important that you make a public proclamation that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And part of that public proclamation is obedience to the Scriptures and following Jesus Christ into the waters for baptism, to be buried with Him in your death and risen to walk in newness of life, and make a public proclamation that Jesus Christ has made me alive. He calls us to make this with our mouth, with our heart, that we would tell others, I belong to Jesus. Or perhaps this morning you have known the Lord for a very long time. You've been a child of God since you can't remember, and perhaps your heart has become cold. You may have lost your focus, that the goodness of the fellowship with the Father is the point. One time, God was your greatest treasure. And perhaps like what happens to so many of us, what happens to me at times, is that within my own heart, the busy work of this world, the good things that we might do for God becomes more of the point of the matter than our relationship with our God. I want to say to you, be restored this morning by faith. Go after your first love with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let nothing of this world get in the way of going after what you've been created to do. We act like repentance is such a bad word. It's the best word in the world. Repent. Quit going that way and go this way. Repent. Go toward the loving Father. Folks, I was so convicted. The experiencing God thing that we've done this week, it's just honing in on this. It's right where I was. And I'm like, God, how much I miss close fellowship with You at times. And how I give myself to so many other things and don't slow down enough to just enjoy the Father. One of the assignments this week in experiencing God was to just stop what you're doing and go take a walk with God. When's the last time you've done that? Your God is calling you back to this love relationship. It is the point. So that is the end of the sermon. And what I want to ask now is that, we don't rarely do this, but if there is any prompting of God this morning in your heart, I would just want you to respond to it in whatever way that the Holy Spirit is leading you to respond to. And I know that there's distractions in this room, and so I just would like to just take a few moments as the praise team would come up, just to bow your heads and concentrate on God. Try to not move around much. And just let God speak to you. And what I would say to you this morning is there's no magic about what you might say to God, except that it comes from your heart and that you're responding to what He is doing. And so I'd ask you right now, as you would, just to bow your head and pray to God to reveal how you should respond to Him by faith this morning.